Hi, I'm Ken Mingus. This is Mingus on Tech. I'm here again with Lucas and Tracy from Computer World. We're taking a look at some of the hot topics in tech news right now. And one of the things that jumped out at me this week, Lucas, you had a story about IDC's predictions for healthcare and IT.
Right.
And the headline out of that literally was that about a third of people's records might be breached in the next year or two.
Yeah, they're already being breached. What's happening is you've got the federal government that has mandated electronic health records. So, insurers and healthcare providers have to put your health records in electronic form so they can share that information. Analytics can be used against it. It's a great thing. It's actually a good thing to be able to share that information between specialists, radiologists, other hospitals.
Is that already in place? Are people's healthcare records now all digitized?
They're in meaningful use too right now. There's three phases to this, so they're about halfway through it, and there's getting a lot of pushback because it's a heady thing. Some hospitals are literally ripping and replacing their systems because it's that difficult to implement this. And others are flying along, some more advanced hospitals. The problem is that healthcare in general has been great with medical technology, not so much with IT technology.
Yeah.
You know, IT's
what
not,
a surprise.
Not so much. And it's funny, I talked to them, they readily admit it. They say, yeah, look, we're way behind on that. So now that they're putting all your records online, the security.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
Right.
You know, throw it out there. And. So that's the issue. And the data in a health record is vastly more valuable than even like your credit card information.
Right. I thought that was amazing. So you have your social security number in there. And then lots of times you have your payment. Isn't step one to like take your payment thing away from
and keep that separate?
Yeah.
Right, one would hope.
That was very interesting in the story about why it's so valuable.
Yeah, well, fraudulent claims. Okay, so I can pose to be you and file a fraudulent claim. Well, I broke my leg while using your record.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say that I want to sell medications. Let's say I want to get OxyContin. I can use a medical record to do that as well.
Yeah.
People talk about blackmailing as well. I don't think that's going to be as
is there. But I mean, all right, so is there anything like I as a patient can do about this? Or does it really depend on the systems that are set up by the healthcare companies?
So,
and we have to just kind of hope that they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's not like you have a choice.
I mean, your healthcare records are going up regardless, right?
It's both ways. It's that these IT operations and healthcare providers and insurers have to do a better job of discovering when they're being cyber attacked, when they're being attacked by hackers, just like any other.
Yeah.
But it's also about education, because you have to educate the users, you have to educate the IT staff not to open phishing attacks. You get emails from companies that today look very realistic. I mean, they're using the same logos as whatever UPS or United Airlines, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you get an email and it looks like a company that you've actually dealt with, but when you press that link, boom, they download
malware.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's the bad news. It's interesting, some of the good news from the IDC study too, though, was the use of, I love this idea of Watson, supercomputing, high performance computing, to create very specialized care for people, depending on what they're treating, whether it's cancer or something like that.
Right.
And also the just how much telemedicine has come along in the last 3 or 4 years.
That figure in the story is, what did they say, 50% by next year?
Well, yeah, they'll be applying it to 50% of the patients, cancer patients.
That seems.
Yeah.
Oh no, I was talking about just the having the remote doctor visit. It seems.
That number seemed
really optimistic. I mean, we live in a part of the country where you have pretty sophisticated healthcare. Nobody has offered me.
I haven't been offered that. I just had my checkup last month.
I mean, nobody's offered me.
Let me
any
ask
kind
you something.
Of,
have you communicated with your physician via email?
I have. I do. I have a web portal.
That's
they
virtual.
Did create that. Okay.
That's virtual.
That,
it's not just, we're not just talking about video
like a
chat.
Camera where I'm looking at the doctor
right.
and he or she is
although
looking at
although that's going to be part of it. That'll be part. Let's say that you're at home, you're convalescing from an injury and he wants to take a look at that injury. He may say, give me a look at that. You don't have to come in here. You don't have to wait in my office for an hour. And if you're convalescing, hello, you're not very mobile.
Yeah.
So, that's one way that it will definitely be used. But on top of that, in smaller ways, like instant messaging or being able to share your records through a portal like you've had.
What about wearables, too? Isn't there some trend toward collecting the data that on your wearable so that the doctor knows exactly what's going on?
Yeah. Yes, they can do it, but I don't know that a lot of doctors are signing on to that yet because we already have a lot of data to work with. Yeah. You know, you look at just the study data that's published in magazines. Watson's going to be able to collect that. Watson's going to be able to collect genomics data. It's going to be able to collect both structured data, like in databases, and unstructured data. So Watson's actually going to be able to read your x-rays or your MRIs. And
I sure hope Watson's a good doctor.
Actually, they're offering information to your doctor.
Yes,
so
okay.
More information, the better. Eventually, yes. And they are using some monitoring systems for, say, diabetics or people with congestive heart failure, high blood pressure. So they have those mobile devices on them now, and they are using that. I mean, my father had heart disease, and his what do you call the little thing they put in
here?
A pacemaker. The pacemaker would actually send information back to the hospital.
Well, we just had an article yesterday about Google's word, the watch for diabetics, so they monitor the blood sugar.
I, that's one of those things that you know, it clearly starts to feel like we're living in the future now.
Yeah.
You know, and which is, you know, I should transition right over to Tracy because I want to talk a little bit about predictions for 2016 with some of the things that.
Fun. Every year, Computer World does its own original research forecast 2016, and we ask a bunch of sort of senior level IT CIOs and senior level IT people. And as a free form question at the end of the survey, we said, what's your boldest, most out on a limb prediction for the IT industry for 2016? So, and you know, throughout some of the real outliers, but things tended to cluster around, people are super, super anxious about security. And we actually have a story up right now of just about security in 2016 is absolutely everybody's number one. But there were a lot of these predictions were clustering around, the entire internet will crash and won't recover.
Okay.
Which you laugh, but there's a big.
All you got to do is pull the plug. Electricity.
Well,
without electricity, it's all gone,
right?
You know? Or just that there's going to be some kind of, you know, ground zero, massive, you know, 10-point Richter scale crash of the internet, and not just these, you know, outages.
Right.
Security breaches will reach such a crescendo that there will be no data left to steal. Which is kind of, if a third of your
there goes our healthcare data, too.
If a third of your healthcare records
but there's
gone.
A little bit of relief. It's like bankruptcy. You don't got anything to lose, so whatever.
Once it's all gone,
And related, obviously, cloud computing will implode with disastrous consequences for some companies.
That's, you know, I do wonder about cloud computing because there's a lot of companies that have been uploading a lot of their data, and they may or may not be really well aware of where that data is going and how protected it is.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, if that internet goes out, what do you have in the back closet?
You better have a piece of paper somewhere with all your numbers.
What do you have that you can still function? Right. And that has been an ongoing concern, you know, for people, for the companies just saying, like, if it's all out there in the cloud.
Well, the smart company, I used to report on financial services as well, and you know, they're not letting go of the more critical data. It's a hybrid deployment, so they have a cloud possibly on their own, in their own facility, and then they for the lesser non-sensitive data, the emails that aren't sensitive, the employee scheduling, that sort of thing, that kind of information can be kept in a public cloud.
Yeah.
But the smart companies, you know, they're not allowing all their information to be kept in a public cloud.
But again, as a consumer, you're like, are you a smart company or not?
Because
that's my credit card.
Yeah.
So another thing, both kind of two sides of the same coin, this idea of artificial intelligence is really here, getting closer. One prediction, massive artificial intelligence will replace business analyst functions, which is actually...
Well, business analysts are probably not happy to hear that.
No, I know. It's already happening, though, right? Or you need somebody to...
Right.
You need one person to bring
right.
in the report
right.
from the... from the massive artificial intelligence. And then another issue for IT people as well, systems will be self-healing and self-sustaining. Again, this is the kind of thing
that's machine learning, isn't it?
Right,
the
system is watching its own self, so do you need a sysadmin, you know, or do you have one instead of an army?
But see, I'm looking forward to retirement under Skynet.
Exactly.
Because it can do my work
for me. I do
welcome
our AI overlords.
Exactly, I mean, I'll be on the beach.
But I'll be honest with you, there are little tidbits of AI, I don't really think we're going to get to the singularity next year.
But, that is a prediction down here. The singularity will rise. It's
okay,
on the list.
Well, okay. If we're not here next year, you'll know what happened. But in terms of AI, there are little things that I'm noticing. For instance, with my iPhone in my car and my and CarPlay and things, when I get in the car and I'm coming to work and I pop up my map, it the car knows that I'm going to work. It's already got my map, my directions mapped out for me. It tells me how long it's going to be before I get there. When I get in the car at 5:30 and head home, it's got the reverse. Mm-hmm. I haven't plugged any of that in. What it's doing is it's using the patterns of where I'm going and where I'm coming from. That's kind of handy, yeah. You know?
Or maybe
now, at
you're
some
just
point,
boring,
if it starts
then.
Sending me off into some weird direction, it may not be so good. But
well, see, you get hacked, and then you're
suddenly driving to Lucas's house for dinner. Yeah, exactly.
So, Lucas, let's talk about something is near and dear to you. One of our predictions was Google will make the cars we drive today obsolete within 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely
and you
not.
Are, yeah,
no,
yeah,
no,
no,
no.
Are you kidding me? First of all, you can pry my steering wheel from my cold dead
Bingo.
Hands.
That's exactly.
Dead
that
is the key word here.
Yeah, and you know what? Okay, so we're gonna have auto assist. We're gonna have driver assist,
which I like.
Folks,
I've got those
great.
On my new car. I love them.
So you kidding me? That's brilliant. You know, do I want to be able to drive down the highway and have my car keep the specific distance between, you know, my front end and the next car in front of me's rear end? Yeah, lane changing automatic. Yeah, that's all great stuff. But I think what you're going to see, I was watching, what is that movie, Will Smith, iRobot, was it? Yeah. So I'm watching iRobot the other night, and that thing was made back in 2006 or 7 or something.
It's been 10 years.
And he's driving this really cool Audi, and he's able to either retract the steering wheel or you know, go over to manual. And that's where I think we're really going. Now, no doubt Google's going to come out with an autonomous car, no steering wheel in it. I think it's going to be more about the service industry. I think some consumers will buy it as well.
Sure.
I think you see taxi companies. You know,
it's
Uber's
like automated Uber is what it sounds like to
Uber
me.
Uber has literally said when Tesla comes out with a self-driving car, they will buy every one of them. They said literally, if you come up by 2020 with 500,000 self-driving cars, we'll buy every single one of them.
Yeah.
Because they see the business value there.
But the delivery, you know, we went to the MTech conference earlier this year, and it really is about that inner city. You know, it's like a courier service.
Right.
So you might not want to get in the car, but you'll stick your package in there.
Right. Or send
or
your car to the grocery
if you need
store.
To send them somewhere.
Yeah. You know?
Just get in the car, honey.
Yeah.
Don't talk to the strange car.
And you thought television was bad.
Well,
you know?
Hey, you got a cabbie or you got no one in the car.
Right.
Those are your two choices. Yeah. Well, so we should all convene next year.
I think we should come back, assuming the singularity lets us come back.
I know.
And maybe after
we'll
the first
ask.
Of the year. I do want to talk maybe in the next segment more about car tech and telematics. There's a lot going on there that I find fascinating. For now, though, unless you've got any other predictions, good. That's a wrap. Thanks a lot.